Hello and welcome to Ask the Experts Live. We are back. You liked the last one on power effects so much that we decided to go all the way around the world to our friends in Lagos, Nigeria. Well, we didn't actually go. You see, I'm still in my closet. Today, we're going to be talking about Microsoft Mesh. So Ask the Experts is awesome because here you can connect directly with the experts to get your questions answered live. So drop your questions in the chat. Over here. One of these places is the chat, and ask us all the questions you have about Microsoft Mesh. Today, we're joined by two incredible people, the creators of the Mesh. One is Hoop Samoa, and Onome is also part of the team who's worked on it. So thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Donna.
Of course.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Okay, so for all the people who may not have been able to tune into Ignite for various reasons, can one of you give us just a quick overview on what is the Mesh anyway, and why is everyone talking about it?
Sure, I'm happy to take a stab at that. Mm-hmm. I highly encourage anyone who wants more details to check out the Microsoft Mesh website. But the idea behind Microsoft Mesh is it provides a platform that makes it much easier for folks who want to build collaborative experiences in mixed reality. There's a lot of challenges associated with building mixed reality apps, not the least of which is how you bring everyone together when they're wearing separate mixed reality headsets so that they can actually be having a shared experience. Gets tricky when folks are in the same room wearing the same mixed reality headsets, but it's also tricky if folks are across the world from one another. We're both wearing mixed reality headsets, but now we want to have a shared experience. If you push a car across the table towards me, I should actually see the car move and receive it. Another set of challenges there is the audio communication, making sure that everything's in sync. If you've got avatars, making sure that everything looks realistic, that they're making eye contact with you. There's a lot of challenges around the presence aspect of Mesh as well. And so that's another one of the pillars that we have in the Mesh platform, is making it easier for folks to build rich presence capabilities.
That is really, really cool. I remember, you know, back when Holo first launched, we built the shared experience server thing, and everyone kind of put in the IP address of the server and you dialed in. And then that was a very, very random experience. It did not work that well most of the time. And it definitely didn't work across the world. It worked kind of in a room. So I was so excited to see Mesh be used by people who legitimately can be sitting here in Seattle, Washington, and where you are. So tell us, what are some of the interesting use cases that you all have been seeing? Because I know how you all work, where you build a thing and then you test the heck out of it in a bunch of real world scenarios. So can you give us any behind the scenes on real stuff?
I can tell you a bit about one of the things I'm really excited about that the Mesh platform enables. And it's a thing I'm working on, which is teleportation. So it's this idea of being able to have a virtual event and then viewers being able to see a hologram representing the person presenting. So if you think about the world we are in now, where everything is virtual, people are at home, being able to have that collaborative concert-like experience with your friends who might also be in different parts of the world, and being able to view the presenter in real time, seeing them from the different angles, but having that same event experience, is one of the bigger use cases, and it's the one that we're focusing on my team right now.
That is really cool. I loved the experience at Ignite of Alex Kipman talking to James Cameron with the audience dialed into the Mesh, and they're watching this conversation where James is, I assume, like in LA or somewhere on some avatar island, and Alex is on like his island, and all of us are at home, and we were able to watch their conversation, and it felt very, I mean, it felt funny because we're all in space, but it felt very normal. It felt real, like we are all watching this. And it's this non-looking at a screen experience. So I thought that was just very interesting and cool, because that's a real scenario where there's two presenters maybe having a fireside chat and we're all observing it. So I love that. There are questions from the audience, otherwise I'll keep talking. Question from Anil, he asks, does Mesh have to be used on HoloLens?
That's a good question. Today, we are in a private preview. We're working closely with customers, and most of the customers who are using Mesh today are using HoloLens. But as you saw in Ignite, we also were working with AltSpace VR, which is available on a multitude of platforms. And so it is the intent for Mesh to enable this collaboration across multiple platforms. And when we have it ready, we will be rolling out support for all the platforms that we have in our roadmap. But okay, we have no official details to announce about like that right now.
Okay, so that's fantastic. Right now, yes, for HoloLens. And if people have a HoloLens 2, is this something they can start using now, or is it part of this private preview and you'll roll out as you're ready?
So if you've got a HoloLens 2 today, I highly encourage you to download the Mesh Preview app, and that gives you a preview of using Mesh. And if you know anyone else who has a HoloLens 2, you can actually start a shared session and they'll show up in your room as an avatar and have a conversation with them, and you can share 3D objects. In fact, I think it was the day after, or within a few days after Ignite, that there was a doctor showed how he was planning shoulder reconstruction surgery with other physicians in a mesh session. So they all got together, they all put their HoloLenses on wherever they were around the world, and they were looking at a 3D model of, looked like a shoulder blade. I don't know a whole lot about anatomy myself, but it was incredible to see that within days of Mesh being put in the App Store. That's an incredible application right there. And so anyone else who wants to try out things, I think actually Alex Kipman even announced some sort of competition to see what folks could do with their mesh spaces if they took pictures and posted them online.
Okay, fantastic. So y'all heard, if you've got a HoloLens 2, install the Mesh Preview app and go see what you can do and go find some other friends. And you know, the Holo community is super tight, so you know exactly who's got a HoloLens 2 and connect with them and have a conversation in person, no longer virtual, I guess virtual, but less virtual, realer, mixed reality-er. Okay, so there's another question from Rigo Hinojosa, and he asks, how much will Mesh cost and will it be available in all markets?
Wow, that's a good one, and one that I am definitely not equipped to answer. We have no details of that available at this time, and both of them are mostly focused on the engineering. That is a conversation that is being had by others, but we have no details to share.
I figured these are, you know, nerds be nerds. We are not business finance rollout type people. We make the thing. Someone else figures out when to sell it, where to sell it, how much to sell for. We'd never know. We honestly never know. Someone asked me the other day, how do you buy HoloLens? I'm like, I have no idea. Do you go to HoloLens.com? Do you pay with the credit card? I have no idea. Zero.
I believe in some markets now it is actually in the store. If you go to the store, you can add the HoloLens to your cart. And I think we actually announced something about financing terms. Not available to me here in Nigeria, but folks in the US, if you're looking to get one at a good rate, it's probably a good time.
There you go.
Actually, a quick thing on the price question.
Yeah.
So one thing Hope mentioned earlier is, Microsoft Mesh would also be used within other platforms that are available, you know, worldwide. So Altspace is a big one that we are collaborating very closely with today. And so the question of pricing or availability would also just depend on the partners that we choose to be tied to. And with Altspace being available across the world, we can expect that their use cases would be supported around the world in different
That regions. Is awesome. That's fantastic. Wonderful to hear, especially since just the space, spatial mixed reality is such a new space. It's so important for all of us in the game to kind of band together and grow our audience together, because it really isn't an or. The more we it like individually, it makes no sense whatsoever. Because if you're this one device only works with this thing and doesn't work with anything else, we're just not going to get that kind of adoption for the near future. So I think that's super smart. That is awesome. So Bethany has a question, and she asks, what sort of background would you recommend for someone who's interested in building a mixed reality app with Mesh?
This is a great question. Sort of background, I would say just an interest in mixed reality is enough to actually just get you started. So we have several different paths to building mixed reality apps. The biggest one is the Mixed Reality Toolkit, which is available in C#. I believe it might be available in other languages, but I will defer to people on that. So basically, the Mixed Reality Toolkit consists of different components that allow developers to create mixed reality experiences very easily. So having an interest in mixed reality, the toolkit, and then knowledge of C# is you know, the three things to get you started.
Yeah. So for MRTK, is it still github.com MRTK, or is it?
I believe that is correct.
Okay, that's right.
MRTK is available open source on GitHub. And for anyone interested in learning, I highly recommend checking out the Ignite session where our colleague Doreen actually walks through building a mesh app with no code. Not quite the no code that you get from the Power Platform, but the MRTK components are Unity components. So you can load them up in the Unity editor and make a lot of progress building experiences without having to go deep into writing a lot of code. But the primary language for Unity is C#, so that's what you're going to be writing in. I believe that there, like, as we think about other platforms, Unity is a great place to get started regardless. So I would say anyone who's looking to get started, if you have no experience in mixed reality at all, Unity has a pretty great set of tools, and for HoloLens in particular, the MRTK toolkit and some of the other sample apps we have on GitHub are a great place to start.
That's right. So for all of you who don't know, github.com MRTK, it's right there, the URL, github.com Microsoft Mixed Reality Toolkit. Open source, C# base. The community is really active on this, and the product team is really active on this. So people are always making updates. They're always putting in different libraries and samples and assets that you can use to get started pretty easily. So even if you've never done mixed reality development before and you're not a C++ dev, those doctors are not C++ devs or C# devs, letting you know. So it's fairly easy to get started with building your first app that is mesh included. So give it a shot. I'm going to do that, and so are you. Okay, so next question is from Matthew. Matthew says, hi, super thrilled about the whole paradigm shift that we're facing across all industry verticals. I think we're all trying to soak it in how these tools affect us. I work in an enterprise environment and I'm so curious about developing a custom application. What mesh SDKs are currently available or do you expect to be available? How will Azure rendering be priced on mesh? Currently, it's included in the preview, I believe.
That's a very detailed question.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, you spent some time with the platform. I don't think that we have details about the pricing for remote rendering itself. That's probably something that's going to come later as we get closer to finally releasing the platform. If you're not part of the private preview, it's a little bit more difficult to get access to the SDK. I'm not actually sure, excuse me, I'm not 100% sure if the documentation is public on docs.microsoft.com yet, but access to the actual SDK itself is not publicly available at this time. We're only in a limited private preview. Enterprises that reach out to us through the official channels can be considered for inclusion, and we should make sure we get anyone who's interested the information about how to connect there. I don't have it off the top of my head. But connecting with the right folks to express your interest in mesh is the right way to get started getting access to the SDK, because we are excited to connect with as many folks as possible to learn more about folks' scenarios. And I even since we've launched it, I've heard so many scenarios I had not thought of before when we were working on this. That's the thing that's so incredible about getting things into customers' hands, is starting to see what people can do with it.
Just from a factory production point of view, I run a fashion company, and a huge, huge thing right now is if we want to look at fit on something, it's impossible from, like, look at the screen, doesn't it fit great? Half the time I'm like, I wish I could just teleport myself into this room so I could see this in person, like see how it fits you, see how the fabric drapes, see how this drapes, see how that drapes. That is my number one use case. And I cannot wait to get my hands on this thing and, you know, send some sort of a device to my tailors so I can actually be there with them in the room. It'll save probably 12 iterations of shipping things back and forth from one city to another. So in terms of time saving, it saves a lot of time and it saves a lot of money for business owners who work on anything physical. So I totally get the manufacturing folks and the doctor folks, but anything where there's a physical thing that a bunch of people need to look at, it's just total lifesaver. So thank you for doing this work. More questions from the Twitterverse. I would love to know if the technology could be adapted to be used with haptic feedback like gloves and such.
That's an interesting thought. I haven't personally looked into whether it could be. The mesh, the core mesh platform starts out with taking our identity, the Microsoft identity stack, and making it possible to bring folks together in a collaborative session. And then on top of that, we build various capabilities for how they're going to collaborate. One of the things that I think is the most exciting is the holoportation collaboration, but also things like synchronizing avatars. If there's a important aspect to synchronizing haptic feedback, I think that would be something really cool and necessary to incorporate into the platform as well. The idea that I should be able to touch something and feel it is something that I think is one of the next steps in how we make this like HoloLens a really immersive experience. We've got it so that you can see your holograms now and you can hear them when they're around you. I can't smell them yet, can't feel them exactly, but I think those are probably some of the next steps.
I love that. That is cool. Okay, so bit niche next one. When will the mesh-enabled AltSpace client be available to test? And when it becomes available, will it be both the WMR and Oculus versions of the app?
That's an interesting question. I can't speak for the AltSpace team. I don't have a firm answer on that, other than to point out that in order to join Ignite, folks just downloaded the normal AltSpace client to get that experience. My expectation is some upcoming release of the AltSpace client will have the full mesh capabilities, but we don't have any timelines on when it's coming.
I figured. Okay, so for Alexander's asking, how can we start to use the Microsoft Mesh? And I think, you know, you've answered this before, which is if you do have a HoloLens 2, you can install the app, the preview app, and start using it. For all the people who don't have an app, who want to be in the know, what are some things that they should do? Are there any skills that they should start building right now so they can think about building apps in the future? Or is there anything else they can be doing? Because you mentioned the docs may not be public. So just like basic pre-gaming, getting ready for this.
That's a good question. It depends on the platform you're working on. If you're, say, working on Unreal, then you would need to reach out to us to talk about things. But I'd encourage anyone who has familiarity with Unity, or if you don't have familiarity with Unity, maybe you should, like, that's the place to start. And start with Unity and head towards MRTK. And when you think about that, Mesh is going to be very easy to integrate if you've already got an understanding of the MRTK components and how you build mixed reality experiences with them. The goal is to make that very, very easy to move on and add presence and things to your application. Ideally, if we do everything right, you should be able to build a great mixed reality app and without doing a whole lot of extra work, drop in components to allow that app to just connect with people and bring people to the presence that that app already creates.
That's very helpful. So you heard them. If you haven't gotten started with Unity, start. It's a wonderful way to just get familiar with building 3D worlds. And there I have a ton of pre-built assets. I think my first 10 Unity projects were all doing pre-built assets. So build worlds, see how the physics engine works, just learn how to build things before you get wrapped up on how to share the thing with other people. And by the way, there's a ton of just basic mixed reality training out there. Our friend April Spate actually created a learn module, a learning path on how to build mixed reality apps. So go look up on Microsoft Learn how to build mixed reality apps. It'll take you like from day zero all the way to you built your first scene and it actually does things. And the forums are very active. The community is extremely active if you run into questions. So start building the muscles so that when it's time to add in the mesh, you're ready and you're not starting over with what's Unity, what's a scene, what's holographic scene, what is C#, how do you add a script? So just start learning the skills right now.
Donna, okay. One thing I would add, so for folks who are very, very new to mixed reality, right, who have never really been in a mixed reality environment, I would also encourage you to check out AltSpace, check out some of the free AltSpace events, go play around the world, see what these scenes look like, and that would inspire you, get ideas about what kinds of scenes you could create and just get a feel for what mixed reality is like as a user, because that goes a long way to helping you think about what you can build for other people.
That is such good feedback on me, and I never think of it ever. But if you haven't played with Altspace, you should do that. I hadn't up until recently. I thought this was so dumb. But once I did, I thought, oh, actually, this is kind of cool. I had this notion that this is super cartoonish, and I don't want to be armless. It was just random. It was a weird blocker. But if you haven't, go to altvr.com and go have a look at some of the events. Their events are actually kind of interesting. I've been watching so many conferences where they have their networking time in Altspace. And these are like really serious industry conferences. These aren't gaming conferences. Like there's some sort of a DevOps conference and their networking hour was all in Altspace. And I'm like, you can get a bunch of DevOps nerds to do this. Then I should probably learn and I should probably get used to it. So I thought it was pretty interesting. Quite compelling. Okay, so next, do you have a favorite file format for working in Mesh? I know that .glb is turning into the gold standard, but what do you all use?
I think currently the Mesh Preview app specifically requires GLB files.
Yeah.
And at some point, I think that ideally you want it to work with a huge array of files, but that seems to be the current file that we're supporting in Mesh. But again, it depends on whether you're talking about using Mesh or building a Mesh app. Because if you're building a Mesh app, then use whatever files you want. As far as I know, there's not an aspect. Well, our remote rendering tech will have some constraints on the file formats that you would use if you're using that. But if you're building an experience and you're pulling in the Mesh SDK, I don't think that we put a constraint on the asset format that you use for your own assets.
Okay, that is good news. So use what you're used to using. And if you're not familiar with GLB files, go get used to it, because it is a standard that a lot of the mixed reality industry, VR industry in general, uses. Okay, question from Mark. If I wanted to pitch my company adding mixed reality to our hybrid meeting experience, what sort of timeline could we expect to decide on a setup and implement? It's timeline, so y'all are like,
Yeah, I'm trying to understand if we're talking about the timeline within which those tools will be available, or we're talking about the timeline within which they should expect to be able to create that application.
So tools will be available. We're not talking about that today. That's fine. What do you think is a good way to pitch a company? Say it's not a tech company and they have a lot of virtual meetings and it's a big topic, right? Teams all over the world, et cetera. What is a good way for someone to go and pitch Mesh as an investment area for this business?
I see.
That's an interesting question. Anime, do you have thoughts?
I think one of the biggest for me as someone developing, working on building on Mesh via the holoportation service, one of the big wins that we have there is just the idea that you can have the same experience while being in different places, right? So everyone is virtual these days. So I think One of the things I would say for the person who asked this question is focus on the areas where your company isn't, you know, super strong in terms of having collaborative experience for employees, and make a case about how building on this platform could provide you ways to fill those gaps. So whether it's being able to host events where people feel more connected to each other using holoportation, or whether it's ways to have socials with each other using holoportation or using some other app built on top of Mesh. So it would highly depend on the problems that you're facing within your specific company or your startup. But I would say focus on those problems and look at ways being more collaborative can help solve those problems.
I like that, where, you know, lead with the problems you already have in your company. Like, hey, we are having a hard time keeping people engaged when they're in meetings, because staring at a screen, it's so easy to just kind of tune out, right? But it's pretty hard to tune out when you're virtually sitting in a room with people. It's just cool. It stimulates your brain in a completely different way than passively consuming what's on a screen. And it does feel more immersive, and it feels like you're actually having a conversation rather than I'm staring at a screen, you're staring at a screen, we all stare at screens forever. So right. I like that. One of you said something really interesting, which is looking at a screen is innately not human. And having face-to-face conversation is what's innately human. We've done it for millions of years, actually. And this kind of enables that to happen while it's the first time we're able to do that while not actually being in the same room. So we're actually helping people be more communicating in a way that is much more natural for them rather than in the way we have been doing for the last year and in a way that everyone honestly hates. The sheer number of people who hate this, everyone is like, yeah, I hate this. I hate this. I hate virtual events. I hate virtual meetings. I hate everything about this. Even people who are like, oh, I don't like being around people are like, yeah, I hate this. I can't wait to be in a room with people again. So do you see this, like, if we're ever in a pandemic again, do you hope that mesh is the way that we have meetings and things so we never have to sit in rooms and look at screens?
You know, I think the first time I used the Mesh Preview app with one of my colleagues, it was so eye-opening. I'd been working on this tech for a very long time, but when I first used it, it was immediately obvious to me the leap beyond just 2D-based conversations that we were having. There's all kinds of things that are subtle about having a conversation. I'm talking to two people right now. Their sounds are coming from the exact same device in front of me. That's not normal. And your faces are in little squares, and I can't move relative to you. All of those things change when there's an avatar in front of me that is making the sound of the person that I'm talking to. And if another person is in the same mesh room with me, I can hear that other person from a different direction. They say, hey, look over here. And I instinctively turn to look in the direction that that spatial audio came from. And I really believe that the more folks that try this experience out and see how much better the concept of presence is when you have this holographic three-dimensional experience, the more folks will realize that this is the next way we want to have meetings. I can't wait till I'm having all of my meetings in mesh holographic space and not on a 2D screen. And I think we're gonna get there soon.
Okay. So one last question, and this is personal. It comes from Julie. She said, how does mesh perform across the accessibility spectrum? Are there different features available for those who need different assistive elements, or is that somewhere in plan?
That's a great question. And I think the way I spent quite a bit of time thinking about both the challenges to a device like the HoloLens, but also the benefits that it brings to accessibility. I think that learning how to use a computer fundamentally is a challenge for a lot of folks, and the accessibility of various interface devices becomes more complex. The HoloLens, as our flagship mixed reality device, brings a lot of really interesting new ways to interact to the table. Speech is a first-class way of interacting with it, as is just using your hands to point and stuff. And eye tracking, again, is another innovative way to have the computer know exactly what you're looking at. And so as we start exploring these new ways of interacting with computers, they're all additive to the existing ways. I mean, if you really do want to, you can connect a Bluetooth input device to your HoloLens and use a keyboard or something else. But in my mind, the growth of the number of ways that we can provide input into these computers is actually going to make it more accessible. And as we expand AI capabilities and language areas, the idea that I have is someday I'm just going to walk up to my grandma and put a HoloLens on her and just sit back and watch. And she's never used a computer or a cell phone of any kind before, but I think that there is a day that will come where we will build a computer that she can use without a lot of complexities. And we have a long road to get there, but I think that we're making some progress. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any challenges that mesh brings to the table. I can think of a few benefits that it's bringing to the table, but as we have more users learn and we learn from folks using it, I'm sure we'll learn ways we can do better in the accessibility department.
I love it. So much cool stuff ahead. I cannot wait to touch back in with all of you post-build, post-ignite, post-next year. Thank you, Hoop and Onome, so much for being here. Thank you for all your hard work. And I cannot wait to see you both in the mesh, but also in real life. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us, and see what's coming up next on learntv.com. Stay with us. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks.